Let's take your Bibles and turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. As we look at the next part of Bible prophecy, a lot of people speculate on when the Lord is coming. And a lot of people that get up and say things like, well, the Lord's coming on day, this certain day and this date. You can always count them down as a false prophet. For Jesus Christ said, no man knoweth the day nor the hour on my Father which is in heaven. So we want to make sure we understand what the Scripture says concerning His second coming. And as we read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says there in verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, it says, by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, as we look in the Scriptures today, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we look on how close is His coming. How close is His coming? Father, we do love You, and we thank You today, Lord, for letting us be in the house of God. We pray, Lord God, that You'll move and do a great work and touch our hearts and lives and help us, Lord God, to take in the great things of Scripture. Help us, Lord God, to understand what You'd have us to understand from the Word of God. Help us, Lord, settle the truths in our hearts about how close You are to coming to get us, Lord, to get the church out of here. And I pray, God, that You'll move and do a great work in our hearts and lives. Lord, we love You, and God, we thank You. In Jesus' name we pray and for His sake. Amen. The Epistle of 2 Thessalonians was written to correct a false doctrine that was being circulated through the church, and that doctrine was that the rapture had already taken place and that the church at that time was already going through the Great Tribulation. The year in question was A.D. 54, which was a long time ago. Listen, we understand that all the second epistles are written with the second coming in mind, with the last days in mind, but Paul says in particular in verse 2 that the coming of the Lord should cause composure, not confusion. And looking to the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see if you look back on 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, look at chapter 1, verse 10. Every chapter in 1 Thessalonians deals with this also about the rapture of the church and the second coming. He says in chapter 1, verse 10 of 1 Thessalonians that this is a sure truth. He says, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. That wrath to come is the time of Jacob's trouble, not the church's trouble. If you look over in chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, it says in chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, verses 19 and 20, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Again, he brings that up. Chapter 3, verse 13. To the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Then we get over to chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. It says, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You see, the rapture of the church is imminent amongst us. Chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we see that these things are out there, we see that it's a sure truth He's coming, a stimulating, a stabilizing, a satisfying, and a sanctifying truth that the Lord Jesus Christ is on His way to get us. And as we look for His imminent return, we know this. We may not know the day nor hour, but dear friend, it'd shock me if it wasn't today. It shocked me yesterday when I went to sleep and He hadn't came already because of what I'm seeing in the Scriptures. And here's what we see. If you look down in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you look down at verse 3, we see what's starting off with this is the apostasy of the last days. He says there in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. You and I live right before that comma. We live on where it says a falling away first, and that's apostasy. The characteristics of the apostasy, that you and I live in are these. Morally, there's a lowering of ethical standards. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says we live in perilous times. And as we live in perilous times, we know this. There's a peril of the faint at heart. There's a peril of the wandering feet in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 18 says, who concerning the truth have erred. Hey, listen, we have a peril of a double life, where people in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5, it says, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We have the peril of itching ears, where in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 3 it says that they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And what they do is they come tickle them little itching ears and tell them just enough of what they want to hear to keep them coming back and doing two things: attendance and money. Money. That's the driving force behind every false prophet. Pride and money. I notice that as we see the apostasy of these last days, we see the characteristics of it. We see morally we got a lowering of the ethical standards. And my God, in America today, if we have not fallen off the map on some of this stuff. I'm going to tell you something. If some bully come along and told me that my kid's going to have to go in the bathroom with another little kid that's of the opposite sex, that ain't happening, Jack. And the way you deal with bullies is you punch them in the nose. Amen. Somebody needs to stand up and tell our executive branch of government that we got a legislative branch and a judicial branch that's supposed to keep that in check. And they need to get that thing in check. For some reason, they've been covering their heads and running like a bunch of scalded dogs. We need to stand up and run the dog out. Amen. Say, I'm scared to say anything. I know you are. That's why God called me to do it, because I don't care. I know this. Listen, if they take my life today, I'm going to heaven, so I ain't worried about it. You don't have to say it, man. They're hearing me on this tape anyway, so you might as well shout or pout, bless God. They listen. You sitting here is consent to most people. Amen and amen. But listen, I know our ethical standards are, we are morally bankrupt in this society so bad that nowadays we're trying to say if you own a gun that you have brain damage, but if you dress up, if your man wants to wear a dress, you're normal. Listen, we've taken perversion to a whole new level. We don't even know which way's up, which way's down, which way's right, which way's left. We have no clue anymore. And that the Bible said there'd be a falling away first. And might I remind you that that falling away happens in the church, not out in the public. We expect that out there, but in the house of God, we've seen it come in here too. You say, how do you know? I keep reading where all these denominations keep saying, oh, it's okay to have this. You can come in here and be a sodomite. You can be anything you want to, and we'll make you a member. Hey, we'll make you the director of the children or whatever you want to do. Listen to this. I'm going to give you a quote from the late Red Fox that played Fred Sanford. You know what he said? Over my dead body, end quote. That ain't happening. If we find out something like that's going on here, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the means it takes to try to reach you with the gospel. But if you come in here and mess with our children, we're going to take other means. Right. You better hope we call the police first. Don't let me catch you going in the wrong bathroom here. Amen. Not unless you have a cleaning brush in your hand and you're the only one in the building. Amen. Amen. That's the only time we ought to cross that line. Amen. So what's the men's room for? Go out in the woods. Amen. We in the country. We ain't city folk down here. We in the country. We can do that here. So what, the police pull up? Tell them what you're doing. Tell them you'll be right back. I'm going out there. Amen. What do you think they did before they had all that? And for all this crowd that says, well, I want a gender neutral restroom, we got one. It's called the outhouse. Go on out there and get in it. They single occupancy, by the way. Amen. I notice that we see how close this company is from the characteristics of the morally and the ethical low standards, but also spiritually we see no fear of God before anybody. See, back years ago, people actually feared God and tried to do what the Bible said. Now they don't care. And the reason being, we have allowed our school system to tell us there is no God, and we got here by evolution. And they tell us that, that thing you have in church, that's not real. That's a book of fables. That's the funniest book of fables I've ever seen, because it's at least 600 years ahead of them, and everything has come out scientifically. While it was teaching that the world was flat, and if you walked off, you'd fall off the edge of it, our Bible said the world was round, and it was a circumference. While they were teaching that, billions of years ago, hey, our Bible said it gives us about 6,000 years of history here from creation to where we're at right now. And while the Bible gave us that, they said that ain't possible. But then we found out carbon-14 dating wasn't as accurate as they said it was either. They was testing live animals that's supposed to be 10 million years old. I mean, come on. Something's got to give somewhere there. But listen to this. They started doing all that stuff. They said, well, because of that, you don't have to fear God. He ain't going to do nothing. And then people mistook the grace of God for his consent on their wicked lifestyle. They said, well, if he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, look what's going on in America. He ain't destroyed us there. God must be okay with it. No, God's not okay with it. You mistake something. When we rightly divide the word of truth and we rightly divide the Bible, we are not living in the same age as Sodom and Gomorrah was living in. We're in the church age and the day of grace. While you and I live in this age of grace, you know what happens? God does let stuff go by, but he's not going to let it go unpunished. Listen to this. I see in the scriptures plainly, not only that, but we have an intellectual characteristic of apostasy where we find men of corrupt minds. That it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, that they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It disturbs most preachers, myself including, that we can have so many people that we send off to a seminary and come back with little Bible, if any at all, belief in them after they come back. They're stealing our preacher boys and turning them into reprobates, or what they're doing. If we send somebody to Bible college, we want them to come back with a Bible education, not a correcting the Bible atmosphere. And listen, to my knowledge, I don't know of any major seminary in this country right now that still adheres to the King James Bible. Not one of them. You know what they try to say? They said, we got better manuscripts now. Well, they had the manuscripts then. They rejected them. You know why? They're wrong. And notice this, the conditions of the apostasy that you and I live in, where we see the apostasy of the last days, we see in 1 Timothy chapter 4, we see that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Hey, we find out every day somebody saying this, well, I feel led that God wants me to do something, it's written out in the Bible wrong. And they say, I feel like God wants me to do that. God, that ain't God. You're being seduced by a devil. And it's kind of funny how people try to say, well, everybody's got their personal demons. It's kind of funny how the King James Bible don't mention demon one time. It always calls them what they are, devils. There's one big devil and there's a bunch of little devils following that devil. You ain't no devil, are you? Listen, hey, I find out in the scripture, I see that the some shall depart from the faith. It didn't say they'd depart from the church, it said they'd depart from the faith. Do you know right now the biggest thing on television right now, as far as religion, you'd think it'd be some program about preaching or some of them idiot TV preachers? No, it's some guys down in Cajun country that don't know how to cut their hair, that pray, and everybody says, man, that's a great thing. Look at them guys holding hands and praying. Hey, that's a great thing. But did anybody bother to tell you what they really believe? They don't believe in salvation by grace through faith. They believe you get washed in the baptistry to get rid of your sins. They're Church of Christ. Yep. You say, man, that thing slipped in there. Yeah, it sure did. Every Southern Baptist seminary in this world recommends Max Lucado, who is a Church of Christ pastor. So I don't like that, preacher. I don't like it either. I don't like it the fact that a man believes in baptismal regeneration has infiltrated our churches, and we will try to defend that crowd. What happened to us? We got apostasy all around us. We got people departing from the faith and never leaving the church. I notice also some will deny the faith. 1 Timothy 5:8 talks about them denying the very, very God that bought them. Talks about denying the faith of Jesus Christ, denying things. Hey, listen, without faith we have nothing. But with faith we can have anything. And what people do is they contradict the scriptures, they contradict the faith, and they contradict it through their lives and through their mouth. Some, it says in 1 Timothy 5:12, will cast off their faith and they'll set it aside. You know how they do that? I'll give you a clue. It's called Facebook, and you can watch it every day of your life. You'll see, here's how you make this liquor, and here's how you make this mixed drink, and oh, here's the Bible verse. Right. One of these things don't go with the other two. And then we'll find out, here's a picture of a scantily clad woman on a motorcycle, and here's this, and then here's a Bible verse. That don't go with them things. Either you is what you is and say you is, or you ain't what you say you is. Listen to me. Some shall cast off their faith, and they do that according to what their flesh wants. Also, you can find this out, that some shall be seduced from the faith. We find out of a guy in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He erred and he led astray. His name was Demas. Listen, we find him being led astray over there. Excuse me, 2 Timothy chapter 4. He's being led astray over there. And it didn't say he left church. It said he departed to Thessalonica. What did he go there for? He wanted to pastor this outfit. Maybe that's where they got in trouble at. Having guys like him in that hadn't followed the Lord. Listen, we find that some shall overthrow the faith of others in 2 Timothy 2:18, where they talk about, over there in that scripture, they talk about how people will come along and try to teach stuff that the Bible really actually defines as cancer. What cancer does, it starts in one cell and eats that thing up and spreads immediately. And they tell me that once that thing gets in you, it never goes away. It just keeps eating at you and keeps eating at you until it takes away everything you got. And you know what happened to most churches in America? Hey, you know why they're closing their doors all over the place? Because there's cancer in them places. And what is it? It's somebody overthrowing the faith of somebody else and them letting them do it. And these preachers are silent about it and nobody will say a word about it. They act like it ain't even happening where they're at. Isn't that something? Hey, I find out a lot of people say, I don't like preaching like that. I don't like listening like you do. But I'm going to tell you something. It's still right. Because listen, we find out that if we don't look at this stuff, it starts looking at us. And then it comes and attacks us individually, collectively, and however it can. Hey, listen, did you know that false doctrine and cancer have some of the same characteristics? One of them is this. They're not prejudiced. They'll hit the black church, the white church, the Chinese church, the Mexican church. They hit them all. They don't care. And they'll weasel their way in there and get in there and tear up the whole outfit, shut it down, and never think a thing about it and move on to the next one. See, listen, we got to be on guard about this stuff. Jude tells us to contend for the faith. Why? Because there's people trying to overthrow it, and they're trying to overthrow the faith of others. But some people in 2 Corinthians 13:5 are just reprobate concerning the faith. He said, how do you know if you be reprobate? Well, reprobate somebody, if you test what they think, they don't come up right. You ever heard somebody tell you, they say, well, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? And somebody said, well, I think there's other religions. You know what you are? You're a reprobate is what you are. Yeah. Well, I don't believe that somebody can lead a certain lifestyle and go to heaven. Well, I think they can. Well, this Bible don't. Listen, if you think that the reprobate means it's disqualified after it's tested. You know them guys that fight in them big UFC fights? You know what they got to do that you have to do in your job? They have to take a drug test. You know why? They don't want somebody getting an illegal advantage over another man. Or a woman in the case of some of these things. Boy, I've seen some of y'all can whoop some of them women, I believe. But listen to me. I know this much. When they're reprobate, you test them and they're disqualified. And there's a lot of our thinking don't line up with this book. It makes us of a reprobate mind when we get like that. You know what we need to do? We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind to help us out and get back these scriptures and start believing right and practicing right rather than keep giving into this apostasy. We now see the apostasy of the last days. If you look down the Bible, he tells us about that man of sin that's going to come after the rapture of the church. He said he's going to be revealed, the son of perdition, verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember this Antichrist, you know what he's going to do? He hates you women. Daniel chapter 11, verse 27 says he does not desire to love women. He doesn't even like you women. You think, listen, I've heard you speak about King James Bible. That's a chauvinistic book. Guess what? The devil hates women. He'd kill you right now if he could. If God had let him in this church and come on a murder spree, he'd go after the women first. Right. Quit buddying up with the devil. He's out to get you, and the only thing keeping him from you is God. Yeah. I see here it says, verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now, he says, you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. And he talks about him here. He says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Where's them male chauvinists now? Because them feminazis. Because listen, it says the bad guy's a man. You'd think this is a Lifetime novel right here, wouldn't you? I know y'all watch TV. I've seen your antennas and your satellites inside your house. And I know you've seen those movies. In Lifetime, the men are always the bad guy. Hit me, fellas. Ain't that why y'all don't watch that stuff? I don't. I can't stand it. I hate being the bad guy all the time. But I see here it says about this man of sin that the mystery of iniquity doth already work. There's increased devil activity, and the activity of the last days is the devil, and he's increasing so much more. There are three great deliverances in the Bible. There was Exodus, where the children of Israel came out. There's Calvary, where Christ came out of the grave, and there'll be the rapture of the church. And all three of those things are preceded by the murder of babies and increased devil activity. In Exodus, before they were brought out of Egypt, you know what they started to do? The king wanted the babies murdered. At Calvary, listen, before Calvary, what happened? There was a wicked king sitting on the throne, heard another king had been born. He ordered all the children, the male children, be killed. And lo and behold, what's going on in America right now? Preacher, that's abortion. No, that's murder. It's murder. And when people tell me, well, there's some cases where it's necessary. Name one. Tell me how people have too many children and name one like that. And I'll show you two brothers that changed the whole continent for God. Their names was John and Charles Wesley. They was about two of about 15 children in a poor house. Amen. And listen, when people tell me, well, I'm going to tell you something. You can define murder any way you want to it, but it all goes back to thou shalt not kill, and that's still right. And I find out in the scripture that the activity of the last days, there'll be this counterfeit spirit going around. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul defines it like this on the inspiration of God. It says, and now the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He says that spirit that works in these children of disobedience is that spirit of Antichrist in 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. John the Baptist heralded the coming of the Christ, of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Gospels. But the spirit of Antichrist will be the forerunner of the Antichrist. You say, who's that? Pick any TV preacher you want, honey. Especially the date setters. Pick them out. All this activity, all this satanic activity goes against the Bible. Just as the Holy Spirit seeks out to draw sinners to Christ, the spirit of Antichrist will seek out sinners to draw them to the devil. See, there's a lot of folks, they won't say nothing about this. They're afraid that, quote, they'll be possessed and be like that girl on The Exorcist. I'm sorry, but that ain't how devil possession works. It'd be easy to identify. If you start spitting out split green pea soup, I'd say, hey, that's somebody's possessed of the devil. Look at there. But that ain't how this works. So how does the devil work? I've been pastoring 20 years. Let me tell you something. He'll work right off a church pew if he can. He'll work up here if he can. And when people get the idea of possession in mind, they're thinking, and the head spinning around and stuff. No, here's possession. You see how I'm possessing this? I'm not inside it, am I? But I'm possessing it. He'll possess your family. He'll possess your friends. He'll possess your faith. He'll possess your testimony. He'll possess your children. You better be careful, because we're living in that day when that will happen. Yeah. So how we get around that? We stay in Christ. Amen. We stay behind the king and let him guide us where we're supposed to go, instead of keep running out there in front of him. Reason Christ wants you behind him so he can lead and take all them shots. But when you get out there in front of him, you take them. Get behind the Lord and follow the Lord. I notice also about these activities these last days that there'll be spiritual bondage. This pointed out in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. And the bondage of these days, listen, we all call these things, listen to this, we call them diseases. It's not a disease, it's sin. And sin gets a hold of sinners and won't let them go, and they can't get rid of it. You ever wonder why people get fooled up with alcohol and they can't quit? You ever wonder what it was? It's not because that's a disease and they were born with it. It's a sin that got a hold of them and they can't get rid of it. Now listen to this. When we see people hooked on that thing, you know what we call it? We say alcoholism. You know what God says? Drunkard. Two different things. When we get to drugs, we say that person, they have a drug problem. No, they have a sin problem. They have a sin problem, and their flesh wants that thing and can't live without it. And we warned them ahead of time, don't do that. Don't do that, or it'll get you. You won't get it. You know what I had one time when I was lost? I was in this place, and there were some people there, and it's the only time I'd ever seen this in my life. And this lady sat there, and she tied this rubber band thing around her arm and stuck it in her arm, and I'd never seen nothing like that. And she had little marks all up and down her arm. I asked her a question. I said, why do you do that? She said, I like it. And everybody ever approaches sin like that, they like it. That's why people do that. I said, why don't you quit that? It looks like you're hurting yourself. She said, I can quit anytime. They buried her 2 weeks later, overdosed. You don't get to quit it anytime you want. You don't have it. It has you. That's why we go out and warn these kids in schools, and why we preach to you kids, and why we tell you, you don't get this. It gets you. So I don't do nothing but do this one little thing right here. Guess what? That thing will get you. I know people right now struggle over little small sins. They can't quit them. You know why? They ain't figured it out yet. They don't have it. It has them. Yeah. I find out that a lot of folks have shied away from preaching on dancing. Are you ready? A praying knee and a dancing foot don't grow on the same leg. Amen, friend. Listen, let me tell you something. Here's the bottom line. That getting up next to each other and getting close to each other, that's made for husbands and wives, not for honky-tonks and proms. Let me do my Elvis karate stuff. Listen here. I'm telling you, that will ruin your testimony and it'll ruin your life. You know why? You won't have it, it'll have you. Now, being as we made up of white folks, you ain't got rhythm anyway. You have no business on a dance floor.
Right.
Amen. The bondage of money, the bondage of pleasure, all that stuff. Romans chapter 11, verse 8 talks about a spirit of slumber that gets people. They're numb. They have no feeling. There's a spirit of the world that is figured in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. And that spirit of the world has no discernment. Why in the world would somebody go into a voting booth as an American and vote for a communist? I'll never know. But they do it every election. You say, well, I wouldn't vote for him. Somebody put Bernie Sanders in office. He wasn't appointed. Somebody voted that man in. You mean tell you what's a really horrible story? Ted Kennedy got voted in and again and again and again and again until the day he died. Why? Because people have no discernment. They have no discernment. You know, back when I was a kid, they went down there and, brother, you helped me out with things in South America down there where they went and got that, what's his name? Where they played the loud music till he come out. And arrested him.
Noriega.
Manuel Noriega. He's a criminal. He's a drug pusher. He's wicked. And he deserves to be behind bars. Okay? We sent our army down there. And they played AC/DC till he come out. I believe it was. I read an article. I'm talking about they brought great big speakers. And bah, bah, bah. So he couldn't think. Finally he come out like your grandma does. And said, just turn it off. I quit. Okay? And now, if you ever watch on your internet, Google changes to show different cultural things. They praise Manuel Noriega on there. He is a killer. At his command, people died. He gave drugs that come to America to attack our children, our teenagers. And they think he's a good man. We're living in a day where there is no discernment whatsoever. How in the world somebody's being up for charges and everything and trying to find out something where we let four Americans die? How's that running for president? And I did say it. Because I ain't figured out whether it needs to go to this bathroom or that one myself. I don't think it knows either. Amen. You can vote for all you want to. Listen, you've lost your mind. I asked somebody the other day, I said, why are you voting for that Democrat? They said they believe in gun control. I said, define gun control. Good point, ain't it? I'm an open-minded person. If you can tell me something, I want to hear it. I said, define gun control is what they said. They said that I believe that when you have a gun, it needs to be in the safe and only you have the code to that safe and your children don't get the code to it. I said, you believe that's what the gun control is they're talking about? They said, yeah. I said, that's not what they're talking about. They said, what are they talking about? I said, simple. They want to take your guns. They want to control them and you. By the time I told that person's ready to go vote for Phil Kidd for president. Listen to me. People don't understand what these guys are talking about, and they're taking advantage of their ignorance. There is no discernment here. I noticed that there's a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God tells us we don't have that spirit no more, but you know what they got? They got a spirit of fear. They're afraid of everything under the sun. And you know who they say will get them? Let me tell you who those people are. They. Let me illustrate this for you. I worked on a job, and I worked third shift. And every night, about 5 o'clock in the morning, we got to get this place cleaned up. And we'd start cleaning up, which means spraying the dye off the floor and all that. But one day I said something. My supervisor said, why do we do this every morning when we know we got to do it? He said, well, they'll fire me if they come in and see it. I said, they will fire you. He said, they will. Okay. And this went on for 2 years. And I finally asked a question. I said, who are they? And he says, you know who they are. I still don't know who they are. But I started telling this story, preaching, and some people come out of church every year. Somebody comes and says, you know, they say that where I work at. I said, they run your job too? And then finally I got on the internet and I wanted to know who they were. You know who they are? There are three guys in an apartment in New York City that are running the world. And they're unidentified. The internet can't even identify them. But at least they pinpointed their location. I thought, my goodness, what sad shape we're in that we're letting somebody we don't even know put us in such a spirit of fear that we won't even think for ourselves. Spirit of fear. So listen, then there's a spirit of error that shows up in 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. And that spirit of error is this. They'll correct the Bible at will and not worry about the author's opinion on it or his truth concerning it. Notice this. All these things says that this will happen. But one thing I want you to notice is this. Verse number 10. It says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. What are those people? Lost people. They rejected Jesus Christ. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Right after the rapture of the church, strong delusion comes in. They think the Antichrist is God. Here's the end result, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You say, what's that crowd being left behind? Sodomites. People who coddle sodomites, people who rape children, people who are okay with that, and people who say, well, it's a free world. That's the crowd right there. Mm-hmm. Listen, we get to all this stuff, we find this out. How close are we to his coming according to the apostasy and activity we just looked like? I'm surprised he didn't show up last year. Hey, listen, Jesus said this, watch, for you know not the hour. You and I are to plan our lives like Jesus will be here in 10 seconds. And listen, we're to live our lives, like he'll be here in 10 seconds and plan our lives like he won't be for 1,000 years. And listen, if we're watching for his coming, we won't be caught and surprised by some things. There's some people today right now in this church, you plan on getting in sin today as soon as we leave this place. And you know what? Jesus will come back while you're in the middle of it. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it be something for the Christian that's slipping around and trying to commit fornication that right where in the very act of rapture happens? Wouldn't that be something? Some Christians plan on doing drugs this afternoon, trying to get in. Oh, we're going to smoke a little dope and do this thing here. What about the time you turn that bottle up or light that joint up, the rapture happens? What you going to be looking at then? You say, I don't know if I'm saying, I hope you are. But I'd hate to be caught like that. So the devil will go after you with all that stuff. Especially you kids, you think it's silly we get up here and preach on sin and all this other stuff. You think, you're just old people, you don't know what you're talking about. We might. There's a chance we might. And there's also this chance. There's a chance that you're young and stupid. There is that possibility. So how can we fix that? Quit doing whatever your heart tells you to do. The Bible says the heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it save out of the Lord? Jeremiah 17. Hey, I wouldn't trust that heart of yours if I was you. You say, I always heard you did. That was Jiminy Cricket saying it, honey, not Jesus Christ, okay? That thing about always let your conscience be the guide, that ain't a good guide. Amen. Especially if the conscience don't line up with the Bible. Hey, we living in the last days. I was preaching last night and I said this, and I think I've said this several times this week. This might be our last day here. This could be it. What are your plans now if it was? What if you knew that right now, that in heaven, God said, okay, bring them home. What if you knew that day was today? What would you do different? Would it change your plans this afternoon? Would it change your plans this afternoon for church? Would it change your plans this afternoon for the things you planning on doing and the people you're doing it with? If the very thought of that troubles you, you know what you need to do? You need to get right with God. Because see, we're living in a day and age, this is already happening. Paul wrote it down as prophecy, as it's coming. You and I are reading fulfilled prophecy. It's here. Some people speculate who the Antichrist is. I don't even speculate on that. I don't care who it is. I just know this. He's already alive somewhere. Couldn't tell you the country, couldn't tell you the age, but I know this. We are on the cusp of seeing the Lord come. And I'm looking forward to it. You know why? Because I love him and I want to see him. Listen, when you grow sick of this world, grow hungry for God, the more you want to see that day come too. How sick of you are? Are you ready to give it all up and say, I'd rather have Jesus and all this other stuff? That great hymn writer wrote that hymn, said, I'd rather have Jesus rather than all this world's got to offer. Hey, listen, do you feel like that today? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love you today.